What's the consensus? Everybody good to go?
I'm ready. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's go.
Yes. Okay. Give me one second. Give me one second. I will start everything up, and I will release the meeting to you, Mr. Chair. Hold on one moment. I feel like I should play some theme music in. Mr. Chair, the meeting is yours.
Okay. All right, thank you, and welcome to the regularly scheduled meeting of the Morro Bay Planning Commission. This is Tuesday, April 7th, 2020, and it's being broadcast from the Veterans Memorial Building at 209 Surf Street. We are all participating through a video conference. There will be call-ins available for public comment. So at this point, I will give you the call-in number, and I will repeat that later when we do public comment. So the call-in number is 818-794-7004, and the show number is 2607, and the guest PIN number is 464192. And I will repeat that number before public comment. Seeing on the screen, we have a quorum, so I'll call the meeting to order. Please, the public, please go easy on us. This is a new methodology, and we're playing with the computers. So do we have any, since we have a quorum, do we have any public, any planning commissioners announcements?
Can I just say something, Jerry?
Michael.
I just want to thank everyone in the city who's contributing to our maintaining some semblance of community as we move forward, including all of the folks that are the first responders and all of the people in the grocery stores and all of our people that picked up the trash this week and the post people. Although it's just wonderful to see the people out there making this place still work, and I thank all of you.
I would like to second that comment, and would also like to send my thoughts and good wishes to those in the medical community. They're on the front line, also to the police department and our first responders, and just give a little note of when you're out there, when you do have to go out, please be kind. Take your time, and everybody is under stress right now, so let's. Let's take it easy on each other, and we'll all get through this together. So moving ahead, we will open this up for public comment period. This is the time normally left for items that are not on the agenda or on or items on the consent calendar. So, once again, the call-in number is 818-794-7004. The show number is 2607. And the guest PIN number is 464192. So, Bob, do we have any callers?
No, sir. We do not have any callers at this time.
Okay, I will move on. If somebody does want to call in, we will cut back in to allow them in. We're going to allow a little bit more latitude in this meeting. So if you're having trouble getting in, we'll give you that opportunity. But at this point, we will move on to presentations. And seeing none, we will then move on to the consent calendar, item A1 and item A2. The item A1 is the current and advanced planning processing list, and the staff recommendation is to receive and file. Item A2 is the approval of minutes from the Planning Commission meeting of February 4th, 2020. And the staff recommendation is to approve the minutes as submitted. Do we have anybody that would like to pull any of either of these items or make a comment on either of them? Okay, seeing none. Do we have a motion?
Move that we accept the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. I would like to take a roll call on everything tonight. So, Joseph?
Yes, I vote that we approve them.
Michael?
Yes.
Susan?
Yes.
Jesse?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Okay. Thank you guys very much. Okay, moving on into public hearings. We have item number B1. This is case number CUP20-02 and CDP19-009. The site location is 193, and this is to allow a small seven-unit mobile home park on a currently underutilized site. Ken, Scott, do we have a staff report?
Yeah, Nancy will be giving the staff report on this one.
Okay, Nancy, great.
All right, here we go. Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
All right. This is considering a conditional use permit and coastal development permit for 1930 Main Street. And how do we make it move? All right. Well, this didn't happen on the test. Oh, so somehow we did that. Hopefully this is the second slide. Existing site information, as you can see, this is on Main Street in North Morro Bay. It's a 12,000 square foot site. It's currently used for parking and non-permanent storage sheds. The existing driveway configuration is about in the center of the site, and that is the same as proposed. And the site is adjacent to an existing mobile home park. There we go. The zoning is MCR R4, and it's in the North Main Street specific plan area. It allows commercial uses intended for a wide range of commercial, including motels and hotels. Residential use is allowed in accordance with R4 suffix zone as a secondary use to the commercial. And what that means is less than 50% less than 50% residential and behind or above commercial. It's a North Main specific plan area, which provides consideration of building height, roof line variation, street trees, and street frontage improvements. And this is a picture of the site. The land use designation is mixed use area F, which allows for a mixture of uses as appropriate, evaluated on a parcel by parcel basis. And this is a view from the freeway of the site. The project site plan, this shows you the layout. Main Street is on the right side. Towards the left at the top is a manager's unit. Left at the bottom are two affordable rentals, and there are four hotel rooms towards the front of the site. The parking provided, there are 10 spaces, one van accessible, two compact, and seven standard. This is a photo simulation from Main Street, and it shows hotel units. It really it lacks a little detail. The landscape plan is a little better to show you exactly how much is landscaped and how much is DG and how the back units are placed. This really just shows the example of units towards the front. This shows you the type of park model units that may be used on the site. So some of them have a more enhanced side view. Some of them have front porches. All of them look very residential. So this project is a little different than a lot of projects that would meet the MCR R4. It does meet the zoning and the land use district standards. It provides an active mix of commercial and residential. Residential is secondary to the commercial use. The project meets the density and the parking standards. The project is compatible with the neighborhood, and the project meets the enforceable zoning development standards. And I use the term enforceable because this is non-permanent buildings, and so the site is technically going to be under HCD as far as building permits and setbacks related to setbacks we don't determine as far as frontage. This is the development standards. This shows the MCR R4 SP standards, and the proposed project meets or exceeds all of them, with the exception of the side yard setback, which is 3 feet, which is the standard setback that HCD regulates for mobile units in mobile home parks. And that concludes the presentation. Staff recommendation is for approval of the conditional use permit, coastal development permit pursuant to the findings and conditions of approval included in Planning Commission Resolution 06-20.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. Do we have any questions for staff? Michael?
Yeah, Nancy, I had a question about the the views of the example units are very different in the examples versus the one that's in the photo simulation. Do we have any control over which units are actually being placed in there in terms of their appearance toward Route 1?
I think that we can ask for enhanced view, but I really think that the simulation was a pretty rudimentary exercise. Yeah. It really didn't show much detail. It doesn't look like any of the units that the applicant said were being considered for use on the site, and it doesn't reflect the mix of pavement and landscaping or the really the perspective of the site from the street. So I think certainly we could ask the applicant to place some that have a better side view frontage on the street frontage side.
The question I had was in the both the view that you've got from the street as well as the aerial view in the report, there's quite a bit of parking on this site that looks like it's part associated with the buildings next door. That's all leaving at this point, correct? This is all developed just for the use of these particular units?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And we have adequate parking on the adjacent site because that's part of the North Main that doesn't seem to have any parking on the street at that particular area.
That's correct.
Okay. That's all I have for now. Thanks.
Okay. Jesse, you raised your hand.
Yeah. So one question I had was, so this is not a mobile home park at this time, correct?
It's currently a vacant parcel.
So without getting into comment here, what would be the implications of not ceding jurisdiction to HCD and allowing this site to construct what they wish to construct, but leaving it under the city jurisdiction?
I think I will defer to Scott because I didn't know that deferring not
an option. It's not really a possibility because our ordinance doesn't account for that currently. I mean, it will be a mobile home park and it will be per HCD. We're calling it a hotel project. They treat it like an RV park, basically. So we don't have anything in our ordinance that allows us to take jurisdiction.
But, okay, maybe I'm missing the point here. So we're taking a 12,000 square foot underutilized lot and allowing them to construct a mobile home park, I thought.
It is a mobile home park and a visitor serving hotel type use.
I think the difference is that this is unusual because it's not permanent buildings. If they were building permanent buildings that looked exactly like what they're proposing, then it wouldn't be a mobile home park and it would follow under the city's jurisdiction. But they're using non-permanent buildings, which I think is really a clever use for the site, but it does put us in this situation where we can do planning conditions, but the permitting and the placement on site and operations is HCD.
Okay, I'll reserve my comments for comments.
Okay, Susan?
Could you elaborate a little bit about why this would be considered a hotel versus vacation rental units? And is there some difference in the way they would be used and regulated?
So because it's a MCR site, that short-term rentals are considered non-residential. So it's not a residential vacation rental. They wouldn't have to get on the waiting list and get that license. It's allowed by right in the zone. And so it's going to be a condition of approval that four of the units continue to be short-term vacation rentals, hotel, motel, because that meets the zoning district requirements.
Oh, okay. All right. I could see that. I know that in the permit that may or may not come forward sometime, it's possible that in a commercial district, there wouldn't be a need for a limit of those numbers. But I sort of get it. It just seems they seem like freestanding little vacation rental units.
Well, part of the issue, Susan, is that our current zoning code doesn't identify vacation rentals as a use.
Right.
So their use is hotel, motel. They're going to be operated like vacation rentals. So you're correct. It's just that's the mechanism we can use from a use standpoint with the current code.
Yeah, I get that. And then okay. One other thing, Nancy, you got the email from Patty Denton.
From who?
From Patty Denton about the Salinan Tribe's concerns about whether a monitor should be there for ground excavation.
On this site? No, I did not.
Okay. Yeah, it was about this one. She just said she's reviewed the project, was concerned that she believes all ground disturbing activities need to be monitored by a cultural resource specialist from their tribe because projects in the area have had resources and burials. So that might be something to address later.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And then Joseph?
Yeah. I guess the core finding we're going to make is that this proposal is actually for four hotel rooms. I'm wondering, is there any mechanism that exists right now to ensure that those are rented out as hotel rooms, meaning on a daily basis or a weekly basis, and that they don't become month-to-month rentals? Is there a mechanism currently available to supervise that?
They will be just like a hotel. They're going to be regulated and there will be condition of approval. And the use permit will require that they be rented on short-term basis as hotels.
So the short-term basis would be something less?
Technically, it's 30 days or less.
Okay. And I can remember from my days in Los Angeles were in some of the core city hotels, the older hotels, people would stay in them for a month and then they would move out of it for a day and then they would move back into it for the next month. I just wonder if there's any, I'm not even suggesting that might ever happen, but I'm I'm asking about that kind of a mechanism to avoid that. Are you aware of anything that might safeguard against that?
So I probably can answer that. So over the long term, we'd be auditing, vacation rental type uses over time to make sure that they're being used as vacation rental type uses, and to make sure that they're paying the appropriate amount of transient occupancy tax to the city, which is probably really why we'd be doing the audits. It's not a practice the city has done in the past, but it is a practice we intend to do moving forward. I had a couple of different conversations with our finance director, Jennifer Calloway, and she wants to start doing those on a regular basis for both our hotels and our vacation rental. So that's how it would be monitored. And then we would also, if we became aware that they weren't using them and they have to renew their business licenses every year. And in doing that, the business license folks also would be reviewing it as well. So.
Okay. Very good.
Okay, Nancy, what is the minimum lot size for a mobile home park?
Sounds like a trick question. I bet you know the answer.
I just bring it up more for information.
In our zoning code, the R4, which is the suffix zone for this project, allows mobile home parks with a minimum of 3 acres. So 3 acres, and I believe that the new zoning code will have the same requirement. I don't know that many of our mobile home parks are anywhere near 3 acres.
Okay. Also, have we ever allowed HCD to, it is HCD, right?
Yes.
The state agency. Have we ever allowed them to take lead agency on a commercial project?
I don't know.
So you would want to think, depending on what you think these are, what they are not. We have, mixed parks that have both mobile homes in them and RVs, and we have ones that are just RVs. Those are commercial, and those are regulated by HCD.
Okay. And then
there are several of them.
Okay. And then the other question is, are there any other differentials that you can think of between the HCD requirements and our stick-built requirements other than the 3 to 5 foot setback side yard setback?
I'm not aware of any other than the setback. I think it's really placement of the mobile units on the site, I think, is their jurisdiction, and then building permits. But in this case, there's site work.
Okay. Would the HCD require continuous concrete foundations under these, seeing as these are commercial project or commercial, quote unquote, commercial buildings?
And again, I don't know, and we could ask the applicant if that is what's proposed. I'm guessing it is.
Okay, Jesse, you indicated you'd like to speak.
Yes, if I may. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Scott, the whole purpose of this exercise is so that they can install park models and not actual Title 25 regulated manufactured homes. Am I missing the point here?
Well, the site's small, and that's what fits there. I mean, this is what they have kind of next door, right? So they're looking to do something similar to what they have next door, and then I think they also have similar facilities over on Atascadero.
So a park model would not have a permanent foundation by definition, is my
correct
understanding.
It's a vehicle.
Okay, that's kind of what I was getting at. Okay, then let's. Let's open this up for public comment. And at this point, we'll have the applicant come forward.
Mr. Chair, there is no public comment.
Okay, there's no public comment then. Okay, great. Then it will bring this back to...
We have the applicant. The applicant's on Zoom.
Yes.
Okay, that's who I meant. I'm sorry, Bob. So, Jeff, would you like to address this item?
Yes. My partner has a presentation to show you on Zoom, Jack Ferry. And I hope he's on here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, barely.
Oops. Wrong. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you see the presentation?
I see a Seaside Cottages. Scott, is this going out over the air?
Yeah, we can see it.
Yes, we're seeing here it at the Vets Hall.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bob. Okay, so Jack, go ahead with your presentation. We'll try this.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. And thank you to the commission and others for having us here this evening and facilitating it through technology. We were looking forward to this date, and then all heck broke loose, right? So anyway, thank you. I just put together a short slide deck. I think a lot of it has already been covered by Nancy, but just giving you some background and context. It's always, I think it's always useful to have that. Because there's always more to the story, right? Than sometimes it shows up on plans. So real quick, just the project managers and the owners, Jeff Borges and myself, Jack Ferry. We've been friends for 45 years. We've been business partners on various projects. We have a longer term view of things. We're not the type that come in and try to develop something and turn it, or you know, turn it for a profit. We're looking for longer term success. We are both wired for success, and we like to share our success with others. Jeff handles the development and the construction, and I handle the business and financial aspects of our projects. This project, and it was mentioned, and I use the term Seaside Cottages as very generic. It's not a business name. It's not it's just a working project name, and it's very generic just to capture kind of the feel and the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to provide some, high quality, functional and affordable housing and short-term rentals. We'd like to continue the transformation and beautification of this section of Main Street. And then we'd like to complete our vision of what high quality affordable housing or short-term rentals can be with the city of Morro Bay. And we're looking to possibly do some, you know, additional projects in the future if we can, and if they prove fruitful. Which I think they will to both us and the community. So real quick, where we started, we purchased the property on Main Street there in 2013. And what we purchased was a pretty rundown RV park and the two empty lots that we were talking about today are the focus of today's meeting. Basically, this RV park had transitioned from a in and out to more of a permanent rental type situation. All I can say is we took something that was very distressed, not very good living conditions, and quickly realized that we could not continue with that model and you know, basically live with ourselves to have people live in these units. So that was the first effort, is to transform the existing property that was through HCD, and we worked through them in permitting and stuff, and transform that into what you see here. So yes, this is exactly this now. So it to say it did a 180 is an understatement. To the council, to the commission members, comment. These are park models. They are still, they are stick built on a very robust I-beam frame. And then placed, in place with, semi-permanent, footings and piers and such. So they are stable. They are skirted to look as they are permanent, right? They look permanent. They don't look like something you just pick up and start moving around. And let's just say the response from the community in general has been very positive. And then the response from renters, our tenants, has been very, very, very positive. So that's the look and feel. I would say that the proposed project would have even a better look and feel. We have a little more space there. We could get units that to the comments that were made that have a few more bells and whistles, and just, you know, these aren't nothing to shake a stick at, but I'm saying we absolutely would work to make that even look even better than this looks. This was the rendering, again, very simplistic rendering that Nancy showed. This is very similar to what Nancy showed, again, with the examples of the types of structures, park models that we would utilize. So, you know, the next step, you know, we are just asking the Planning Commission to support this project. And one thing we'd like you to consider, and I'm not, probably not so much for this project, but as we move forward on possibly others, is based on our experience with the adjacent project, it's just an extreme need for quality affordable housing, not RVs with lean-tos built to them like we've seen in some of the other parks in Morro Bay, but real quality affordable housing and short-term rentals in Morro Bay. And wanted to say a couple of other things. It's very difficult for some of these other parks to be able to achieve what we can achieve, in that when we were able to do this because we owned all the RVs and all the units, so we could easily transform it. But a lot of these other parks, they're locked into with tenants owning the units, and it's very, very difficult for them to transform that to achieve what we can achieve for not just the look and feel, but the quality, assuring that the quality is maintained. So that's what our vision is, to provide quality and affordability, and then sustaining that, right? It's not just sticking it in there and then letting everything, you know, deteriorate. Jeff, do you have anything else to add to what I just said? And I think.
Yes. In the past, we have done projects where, like, I could work with Nancy and have where she can decide on the colors and work with us on what would be the best look for that particular project. We want to make sure that there's on all the units that they have indoor and outdoor decking and covered areas. So the examples that we gave use all of those, and then anything that you guys suggest, because we have these custom built. So we're not buying cookie. The ones that are showed here, those were all custom designed by us and took several months to actually make sure that they fit into the existing park. We have much more flexibility next door because we have a clean slate, a canvas to paint whatever we want on. So we want to have a project that when you drive by, you look at it and you're proud to say that not only us, but I want the community to, as when we were building this, I want them to stop and put their thumb up and say, great job. And so the two-story that we built next door to this project, we had a lot of input with the city of Morro Bay to make it a building, especially because it was two-story, that was enhanced with the shingles. I wish we had a little better of a picture to show you, but there's a lot of woodwork and detail on that second story. And work with the manufacturer, the two companies that we're working right now, to customize these units. And so we have no problem with allowing Morro Bay to basically have, which would be you guys, give us some input on the type of roofing material, the color that you'd like to see on the exteriors, what type of siding, windows. If you go and drive by and look at our projects, the more windows, the better, to let in light, just to customize the units. And so what we have created at 1998 Main Street, our goal is to next door to have a better project and a nicer project. And the reason we didn't do a super, super high-end rendering is because that does cost a lot of money to do, and we would rather save that money. It'd be thousands and thousands of dollars. Save that money and actually put it into the materials, where instead of spending our money on a high-end presentation, put the money directly into the product. And so we are trying to budget this, that's why we didn't have as much detail in the rendering as probably we should have. So I apologize for that. But like I said, we would be more than willing to work with Nancy, or if you guys want to even take part in the type of materials that we use on the finished product, we're not opposed to that.
Okay, thank you very much. At this point, I will reiterate that we have a public comment period. It's a call-in, so you can call in at 818-794-7004. And the show number is 2607. And the guest pin is 464-192. So, Bob, do we have any other public comment on this item?
No, Mr. Chair, we have no one called in at this time.
Okay, great. Then, commissioners, do we have any ex parte communication you need to declare? Okay. Then I'll open it up for questions for the applicant. Susan?
couple things. I was curious about how big each unit is. It looks like the hotel rooms are about 480 square feet. So are they one bedroom, two bedroom, and are the hotel units complete units? So they have a full kitchen, full, you know, complete bathrooms, that sort of thing.
Yes, they're all going to be a minimum of one bedroom, and they will have a complete kitchen and a full bathroom. And some of the units, we can order them to have two bedrooms, but most likely because they're going to be restricted to 400 square feet, we may have some that can be up to 550 square feet. I think that's the biggest footprint that we can have for the units.
Okay, thank you. And do you know any of the history of that particular site in terms of previous excavations, whether there were any other buildings there perhaps that there would have been ground disturbance, or was it always just an open lot like that?
It's as long as I've owned it, and I knew the prior owner, it's just been a gravel parking lot. And so I, and we would not be doing, well, I guess there is some under what the utilities would have to be put in. And so there would be some, that would be the biggest disturbance is the underground utilities to the,
yeah,
to the,
it looked like the maximum cut was 6 foot at the retaining wall.
Yes.
Yeah. And it just looking at the terrain, it looks like it was already excavated in the past. So there's a hill.
Yeah, it was.
And
it was. Yeah, it was cut. Uh-huh. It was cut.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, Jesse.
I had to find my unmute button. Sorry about that. My question is, could this project be done with standard Title 25 manufactured homes and not park models?
Like mobile homes,
right,
you're talking about. We could put mobile homes in there, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. Jeff, as far as the different, what do you see as the difference between having the HCD be lead agency on the building and having Morro Bay be the lead agency?
With HCD, it really boils down to affordability. When you permit through them, the permit fees are probably they're less. But you can do it where the Morro Bay still has a say so. Like when we built next door and we did the two story, Morro Bay had a lot of input on the design of that building. And so it worked out to be good because I was glad the original building that we showed was kind of plain, and we ended up changing the siding and putting a lot of gingerbread on the house and on the unit. And so it ended up being, we realized that was a much better approach to developing that project. So there was a silver lining in Morro Bay being involved with that second story. And the reason they were able to do that is because, you know, the Coastal Commission, because when you have the Coastal Commission, you have to, you know, there's an extra processing of your project. You have to get the Coastal Commission's approval, which you guys kind of are you guys are the ones that do that approval. So what we could do on this project, and I would be happy to do that, is you guys put a condition on here that we have to come back through you guys one more time, and you guys have to look at our colors, you got to look at our elevation, And you guys got to give us the final blessing on the project. And like I said, I want your guys' input because you, I think all of you live in Morro Bay, and we want a project that you guys are, you when you drive by there, you're glad that you approved it. I don't want to build anything in that community that you guys ever drive by and say we never should have allowed that to happen. That is not our intent for Morro Bay. I don't live there, but that I feel that is my community. I have, you know, this would be my third project there, and I love that town, and I want to see, I want to see it improve, and I want to see, I want to see a lot of affordable, nice projects being proposed in town for the working class people, and that's who we're putting in there. We have two nurses that rent from us. We have people that work at CMC. We have anywhere from hotel workers to law enforcement and nurses and school teach. We have a teacher in there. So that's, we want to serve the community and, but give them a nice product to live in that's affordable.
Okay, Jeff, thanks.
Or to rent, you know, the renting, a lot of the motels don't have kitchens in them. These are going to be great for people that come over and want to actually not go to the out to dinner and just cook their meals in. I think they're going to be very popular.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. I think we've, you know, we've seen your projects, and I think the, speaking for myself and the rest of the commission, you did a wonderful job on cleaning up that site next door. And you've got, so you have a track record, and you have some, you've got some credibility with the commission. So am I still broadcasting here?
Okay. You good?
Okay, great. It, the screen shot back over to you, Jeff. So I was just wondering, the heights of the units, are they going to be the, be similar to what you put next door, or are they?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So, was there any reason you did not do a lot line adjustment and could join the two lots?
We did start to do that, and then it was bogging down. It was going to be real convoluted. So it was just cleaner to just, instead of push the line over, is just do a whole new, do an entire new project, and then it wouldn't be blended. You know, they're actually going to be two separate. And at first I didn't like that, but I think it's going to be cleaner. And what we did next door, just for your guys' information, we changed the configuration. We had to, we couldn't put as many units in there, which was fine because we needed parking over there. So we provided parking for all the units next door because that was very important. You know, we don't want people, I don't like it, to have to walk somewhere. You want to be able to park a car right next to your unit. So we had to sacrifice one of the units next door, but it was a sacrifice because now we have parking for everybody, on-site parking.
Okay, great. Thank you. Do we have any other questions for the applicant? Okay. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Great presentation. We'll bring it back to the commission and begin discussions. Who would like to go first? Michael?
Still learning to Zoom here. I'm
very much impressed with what the owners have done next door. I lived here for a while and saw the conditions before and go past that frequently myself. And I think this is actually a nice project because it's not conjoining the lots. I think in a future date, probably 10, 15 years, I think we'll see something else happen here. But for now, I think this is fantastic. My only concern is, of all the images shown, including the ones of the existing park that were part of the presentation that the applicant had, as well as the secondary examples of other park model homes that they had in the staff presentation, the photo simulation gives me pause because I think it seems like it's a lesser unit than any of those other examples. So my only concern would be that since this is the Route 1 side, as well as Main Street side, we would want to have one of those other models with the amount of glass and the amount of detail on it rather than what I saw there. I think the rendering is pretty simple. There is a landscaped area in front of some of these units that doesn't show up on the simulation. And I would expect that the landscape, because it's such a small condition, would have to be well-maintained to make that appearance along Main Street look pretty good. I think the way that it steps up the hill and frames these things in, it's an extremely tight site, much like some of our mobile home parks have. And I don't think that's necessarily bad. I think that's potentially a great thing. But I would want to have some surety, whether it's discussion with Scott and Nancy. I don't know if it has to come all the way back to us, but I would want to see something that looks more like the other models that they had in the presentations than the thing that's in the simulation. That last photograph that was not in the package that we got that showed a specific image for each of the sites, I thought was much more persuasive than what was in the simulation. So that's my main comment. I'm fine with the size. I'm fine with the layout. I'm fine with the lot size. I would just like to see those first two units that are both listed as hotel rooms toward the Main Street side have a lot more glass and maybe yes. A porch kind of structure.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Next, please. Jesse.
All right. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I agree. I agree with Michael. I think that we saw a very good project next door. He hit all the points I wanted to make. Before I go into my other comment, which would be, I just don't see the point in not keeping jurisdiction of this and handing it over to HCD. Quite frankly, I have zero confidence in HCD's ability or willingness to maintain our standards. I feel like once we let the cat out of the bag, I feel like we won't be able to get the cat back in the bag. I would be all for this project. I would staying with our Department of Community Development and, going through our standard Title 25 mobile home installation procedures and everything else I see in there looks good. I just I don't like the idea of giving it to HCD.
Okay. Joseph, question, comments? Say that again, Joseph.
You can hear me. It's an understatement to say that this project is much needed and welcomed. I'm particularly grateful for the affordable housing, market-based, much-needed affordable housing here. And the only reservations I had about the project, I think, have been adequately answered. One was some sort of monitoring to make sure that it would in fact be operated, the four units would be actually operated as hotels. And I thought it was curious that in the presentation to us, it had not yet been decided what these hotel units and the affordable housing units were actually going to look like, because ultimately this commission is much responsible for what we allow to be built here. But, based on what I've heard, and again, on the reputation of the applicant from the previous project, together with some sort of, you know, reappearance here at the commission when the actual plans for the structure is a little bit more firm. I think those two reservations have been adequately addressed, so I'm fine with it.
Susan?
I think it's a good project. It provides housing. It's going to add to TOT. Presumably, there'll be some kind of a job and or housing for a caretaker in the one unit. It kind of looks to me like tiny homes, like a little tiny home project. And yet it has that commercial portion of it. So I think the one thing I might just add in, I have confidence looking at the pictures that provided that they will use attractive units. They certainly have in the past, had more windows, more articulation. The porches are great, all of that. I would like to perhaps see, if not a requirement for monitoring for cultural resource stuff, perhaps just some kind of soils report, which I'm sure they will have or already do as part of their process. Maybe just monitoring during the utility hookups. It did say, I don't think they were planning on any over excavation, some exporting of soil. So overall, I'm definitely in favor of the project, and I would easily leave it to our staff to make sure that the articulations of the designs are appropriate. I don't think it needs to come back to us.
Okay, great. Okay, it's coming back to me on this, and I have a couple concerns on this. And basically, it's more precedent setting where my concern isn't with the project and isn't how it's laid out and isn't with the applicant, and because you have a track record next door that really cleaned up an eyesore, and I appreciate that. I have a problem with us lowering our minimum lot size for essentially to allow mobile, I'm going to call them mobile homes or park homes to go in without, and then ceding the control to HCD rather than keeping control with the city where we can be responsive to it. The one disadvantage I see preliminarily is that the setbacks would be the side yard setbacks would go from 3 to 5 feet. I don't really have a concern on that, even if we had to do a variance, if they couldn't meet that 5 foot setback, even if we had to do a variance for them to allow them to do a 3 foot setback on it. But I would see this as, this is our main street. We're fronting Highway 1. This is a gateway to the community, and we get, 120,000 cars go by there a day or thereabouts, or, whatever the count is now. And I think to cede the project over to a state agency and not maintain control of it in-house, I think we're losing an opportunity, and we're also allowing a precedence to go in to be set for other projects of this size of 1,200 square feet rather than the 3 acres that are minimum in our codes. And so I have a problem with the lot size, not upholding our minimum lot size for, and then ceding authority over to HCD. We can't do both. We could do one or the other. And so where are you guys landing on that? What's your thoughts on this. Susan?
Could I ask a question of staff about that? Maybe they could talk a little bit about what HCD might do or not do or control in this project that we would not be comfortable with.
Okay.
I don't know enough about how they function in relation to mobile home parks relative to the communities.
Let me be a little bit clearer, Scott, here, and Susan, on this. Is I have no problem with the prefab homes. You know, that's not, I don't think that's an issue. I don't have a problem with it as a quote unquote tiny home lot. I just have a problem with the process. So Scott, can you shed any light?
So I think, I mean, we're approving this as a mixed use commercial project, you know, with the affordable residential, you know, units in it as well. So we're not approving it necessarily as a straight up mobile home park. To the end that, you know, the concern that both you and Commissioner Barone, you know, expressed about, you know, HCD having authority versus the city. It would be something that I would need to do some research into, meaning I need to talk to the city attorney to see whether we can do that or not. So if you want to condition it to have us look into that, I mean, I'm happy. I don't have a concern about taking control over the permits for the project. I'm just not sure that we have a mechanism to do that because our ordinance doesn't give it to us. But maybe just through the way we're approving it, that's enough. And so I could go and sit down and talk with the city attorney and ask him about that. And if he doesn't see an issue with it, then we could do that. Again, I don't have a problem with us doing it. I'm just not sure we have a mechanism for it. But we're also not approving this as a mobile home park, and we're not approving it as an RV park. I'm just not sure if it's they kind of default to that regardless. And so that's kind of what I'd have to find out.
Okay, Jesse.
I think part of what gives me pause more than anything is the fact that they're considered non-permanent. So I mean, at any time with an HCD permit, they could swap these units out. And not that I think Jeff would do that. I think he's been nothing but a reputable player in this town and with his projects. I'm just saying, in the future, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you know, the project is sold to a different owner and we lose control. I would just much rather see it stay here. So
we could actually, and I think your point and Commissioner Lucas's point, all of you seem, you know, to want to have staff review, I think, what the units would look like going forward. And so if we add that condition to the project, then anytime things get changed out, they're required to come to the city to get that approval. If that's a condition of approval on the project, it doesn't go away. It is in perpetuity as long as that use stays on site. So if we had that condition, then we have that authority moving forward. And again, I'm also fine adding the secondary, you know, condition that we that I go review that with the city attorney to see if we can, you know, keep authority and what that would look like. I'm happy to do both of those things.
And Joseph?
With respect to establishing a precedent, you know, mindful that maybe sometime in the future a project is before us which doesn't have all the grace that this one does and we'd like not to approve it. I'm just wondering, would the solution be if we found it to be a mobile home park and not falling within the 3-acre minimum size? Is that sort of a workaround in terms of sort of choosing yes to this and no to some other project in the future?
I mean, I think from the staff standpoint, we're basically approving it, like I said before, as a mixed use project, mm-hmm. Which is kind of what we're splitting hairs a little bit, but clearly it's not a full blown mobile home project. It's something else, right? And so that's kind of the way we viewed it from a staff standpoint. Now, we didn't know what the commission was going to think about it. We brought it to you saying, hey, we think this is something different. It's not the mobile home park that needs 3 acres. It's something else. And I mean, certainly the commission could have said, no, guys, you're crazy. It's a mobile home park. It needs to be 3 acres. And you could have denied it, or you could deny it. You haven't made a decision yet tonight. But we didn't feel that's what it was. And we also looked around the neighborhood and said, well, they're doing this next door. They have a nice project there. And we assume they're going to do something similarly nice. And so we thought, makes sense. I don't know that, you know, anything or any decision that the commission's made since I've been here. You've talked about precedent setting things over time, but I don't know that, you know, whenever that concern was raised, that you ever said, oh no, if somebody, if we gave this approval, the next time it comes up, we automatically have to do it. This commission has never done that. You know, it doesn't mean the future, in the future that couldn't happen, but you guys are certainly not that way. And that's not a concern that I have. But certainly you can have it. You're the decision makers. So.
Yeah, that's my point exactly. I mean, but you never want to appear arbitrary, but I have to admit, when I first read the file, I was thinking to myself, you know, a motorhome park is defined by having residents in place or parked, and those residents are not, you know, permanently fixed to the ground, and it had nothing to do with whether you rented out those residents a day or a month or 10 years. So I don't think there'd be any difficulty in distinguishing a similar project that would come down the pike that we really weren't in favor of. That's my thought.
One of the things I'm looking at too is if this project came up two or three lots away from this, would we still be giving it the benefit of the doubt? And that's kind of, you know, was kind of my touchstone on it. And would we be giving would we be ceding control on this to HCD? And would we be not calling it a mobile home park? So because it's commercial, because it's mixed use, it bothers me to cede control of it. If this was, you know, if this fell somewhere else in the, you know, in the pantheon of where it is, it, you know, I would feel better ceding it to HCD if it wasn't a commercial project, you know, a mixed use project. So that's where my thoughts are, is trying to keep control in-house. I think they will work under similar constraints as what they would with the state, you know, the state regulations. It's just we would have more say so on this. And as an adjacent lot, it gives it some leeway, which a totally standalone project I don't think would have, you know, with us. So that's my thoughts on it. Where are you guys standing? You know, Jesse?
I agree with that almost in its entirety. I'm willing to approve with the stipulation, and you know, I know you guys know what I do for a living. So, I mean, I just have somewhat of a bias against HCD. I just don't feel that they have the local communities in best interest in mind, and the permitting, you know, if the permitting is slightly less expensive at the state, then you know, I apologize for that, but we can't do anything about the fees. That's a city council thing. I just don't have any confidence that they're gonna have our best interest involved, and we're right here on the Highway 1 corridor. So,
okay, Michael, you want to?
Yeah, I don't have a strong of an opinion about the seating responsibility in this particular case. I would actually have more concern if it was a larger lot. I think this is a really problematic specific location, and I think given that so much of the materials that we see are putting housing out of the reach of most people, this is really one of the few affordable schemes we've seen come in. And I think if there have to be some concessions to take a problem lot and turn it into places that we can have a few affordable places like this, I think this is probably a good place to do it. This is the warehouse, industrial, roofing, stretch of Main Street, and I think it's an admirable way to start moving it forward. I think down the line, I can't imagine that this lot's going to stay in this configuration for an extremely long time. I would imagine that gets combined and something else is built here in 15 or 20 years max. And I don't have any trouble with something like this as an interim kind of piece. I think it's a difficult site, and I think they've put a responsible way to solve that for us. But I do share the concerns about it's a project-specific solution that we have here, not a precedent that's a blanket for any, you know, particular stretch of commercial that we have.
Okay, Susan?
I agree with Michael. I do think perhaps the idea of creating some of those conditions where we say we want our community development department to have some oversight over appearance and that sort of thing may, as Scott says, help bring it back to the city each time something may be changed. And again, I don't really understand how, given what the applicant wants to do with this project, how the HCD could significantly change it or affect it. But that's my own, someday I'll sit down with Jesse and we'll have a talk about that. You can explain it to me. Again, small project, great change for that part of town. It's, you know, not the most attractive there. You know, and thanks to Caltrans, it's not the fault of anybody. So I would like to see it go through.
Okay. Joseph, did you have a chance? Did you have anything left you wanted to say?
No, I think I agree with everything that's been said, and it's, the project has so much merit, and the site is in so much need of improvement that I'm willing to run that small risk that something untoward happens by virtue of it having the state agency control it. And as Michael said, you know, we don't really have to worry about that as precedent for the future. And so I wouldn't want to pass on this advantage.
And I support the project. I just would like to see it. I would like to see it begin. I hate to hand it off to a state agency for the final, you know, dots and dashes on the control. So Scott, can we do that? And can we bring it back to us and still give them the advantages of what they would get running it through HCD?
So I think, you know, we condition the project that, you know, that staff, you know, pursue that. It might be an unenforceable condition. So I think we'll have to craft it such that you have us and go investigate it. And if it turns out that we can do it, we do it. But I don't have a problem with that. I think that's fine. I told you I'm happy to make it happen and happy to permit it through the city if we can do that. I'm going to have to talk with the city attorney about it. They have specialists in their firm that deal with mobile home parks and that type of thing. So I'm sure I can get the answer pretty easily from them. So I think we just add that condition. Then we add the condition that applicants required to submit the design of all of the units for review and approval by staff. And if we're going to do that, I would also request that we add a finding in there as to why we're doing that. And that's because of the aesthetic importance to the Highway 1 corridor. And so I would be, so a condition, a finding for the staff review of the units, and then a condition that has staff researching the ability to take authority for permitting the project in-house as opposed to ceding it to HCD.
Okay, so Scott, are we essentially treating this as a concept plan and then it will come back as a precise plan?
Well, I don't know if you want. I mean, do you want to see the units back? I heard from several of the commissioners that they were happy to let staff do that. So I'm comfortable with that.
No,
I heard what you said you wanted. So yeah.
I would be happy with that too. Is that the consensus? I see nods. Okay. Jesse.
I guess I'm still unclear, Scott, on I think I've heard you say it is a mobile home park and it isn't a mobile home park, and I'm not really clear.
Well, it's a mixed-use commercial project that has mobile units in it. Is it a mobile home park? I guess the title we put in commercial, residential, mixed use, and then it says mobile home park. I don't know that the resolution actually says that. The resolution just calls it a mixed use project.
Okay, because I don't think I would vote for a mobile home park.
Yeah. So the first whereas in the resolution, and that's where I was coming from on this. It talks about approval of a new mixed-use hotel residential project in a non-permanent structures to be located at 1930 Main Street. It doesn't say mobile home in the resolutions. When I was looking at this, this is where I came up with the idea about talking to the city attorney about it, because the resolution doesn't say that. I don't know what our mechanism is, because when you take authority for permitting mobile homes, you adopt an ordinance that does that. And I think even HCD might even get to have a say in what your ordinance says. I've never been in a jurisdiction that did that, but I've talked to some that have, and that's sort of my recollection. But maybe because we're approving this a little bit differently with the way the resolution is worded, we might be okay. And that's kind of, I was thinking, there's a little nuance in here, and a little room to where I can sit down with the city attorney's office and see if we can't, make something happen.
Because my understanding is Title 25, which is the Title 24 of mobile homes, it regulates the construction of mobile homes that they're parked. I'm sorry, they're factory inspected, and then they're shipped to a site and installed. They differ from park models insofar as they are considered permanent. I think what I heard Jeff say was he almost preferred more of a permanent installation where he has a foundation. And I'm imagining, hotels would want some sort of a relatively stable foundation. So I'm wondering if park models are not the way to go. And we want to just have Title 25 inspected mobile homes. And they're allowed, I want to say by state law, everywhere a single family dwelling is allowed to be constructed as long as it's 10 years or newer.
That's correct.
So I don't know where I was going with that, but I guess as long as they're not park models and they're regular mobile home, regular manufactured homes, I don't see a problem with it. But that's just I guess I'm going off on a tangent. So.
No, Jesse, that's basically where I was trying to get there on that is to allow basically allow this configuration with off-site built manufactured homes that would then be set down on engineered foundations, basically. So Title 25 gets us there without having to have the HCD intervene, and that allows us to not have this as a, somebody else come in and say, I want to do this on this other 1,200 square foot lot,
Right. The only thing that HCD involvement would allow you to do is put the park models in, which I don't know is a make or break for Jeff. It didn't sound like it when we talked. So,
okay. Let me open up public comment again. And Jeff's heard this conversation. I think he's been following it. Would you like to chime in here, Jeff, and we'll open up public comment on this?
Yes. Oh, I've gone back and forth myself, because the downside of a park model is it's a maximum square feet of 400 square feet. And that's it's hard to get everything in 400 square feet. So if you go to the Title 25 manufactured house, you can go over that. And so then you add more square footage, and so you can make the units a little more comfortable, a little more livable. The downside is you can't put the lofts in them. You know how you see the little lofts that we have in there? And they don't, on a mobile home, they don't allow manufactured housing, they don't allow the loft. And a lot of people like that because it gives you extra space up there. And they do look a little bit nicer than a manufactured home. They have a steeper pitched roof. And I like that. I like that taller. I don't know if you guys have been able to go through any of them. I could have you walk through some of our units and you'd see the difference in a manufactured versus a park model. They're pretty much built the same, but they fall under different jurisdiction. Like the mobile home has a different type of a foundation system that we have to use, where the manufactured park models fall in another category. But far as safety, they're both quake. I'd actually prefer to be in a manufactured park model because there's more, the wheels have to stay on there. They have four axles, and so that thing has room to bounce and move. It's not going to be as impacted from an earthquake. And we have no intentions of ever moving these. So I think the way we've installed them is they would, in doubt anybody would ever remove them unless they were going to be replaced with a newer unit. And that would be probably, you know, not in my lifetime.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. So I'm not sure if that clarified anything. Where do you guys want to go on this? Okay, my preference is that we eliminate the control from HCD and treat it as a mixed-use commercial building with allowing the pre-manufactured homes through Title 25 to be allowed on there. So basically it just stays in control and is brought through, you know, our community development office. Do we have support? Do I have support on that, or Jesse?
One more comment, real quick. I'm not as familiar with Title 25 as I am with Title 24, but Title 24 did have a new provision with this new code cycle where tiny houses, Appendix Q, you can build tiny houses with lofts. Right. I imagine, and I'm guessing that the new Title 25 incorporated something similar. So I'm wondering if you can't get that same configuration with the lofts in a new park model under the new 2019 Title 25.
Yeah, and if my memory serves me right, I think the lofts can be as minimal as 4.5 feet, you know, to in height. So you could have a loft on a, you know, on a quote unquote tiny home, you know, and not be in a park model. So,
if you don't mind, I'll just make a couple comments. It's a planning permit. And so I may be naive to how much control we're giving up to HCD, but we're not issuing building permits, but they're really not doing any building. So they're putting non-permitted buildings on the site and we're conditioning it to operate as four hotel units and two affordable units that will be deed restricted. And those conditions were kind of a compromise between staff and the applicant to allow this kind of hybrid use. We don't know kind of what category this fits into on the site, because it seems like a compatible use. It also seems consistent with the direction we're going with the housing element to explore tiny homes and micro homes. And this seems innovative to me to consider using non-permanent structures that look like permanent structures to the public for a kind of, maybe it'll be a forever use, but it could be a temporary use of a site that might have a higher and better value in the future. So it we didn't just say this is a mobile home unit, and this was a kind of a process that we developed with the applicant to get to this configuration, which is what we thought could be a good compromise to allow this kind of unusual use of non-permanent buildings to fill a gap in a street that needs some improvement.
Okay. And I agree with that wholeheartedly, Nancy. Jesse, did you raise your hand?
Yeah, I did have my hand raised, if I may. I agree with that, Nancy. I think it's great. I mean, I'm not against the number of units. I'm not against the layout. I'm not against, the two deed restricted low income housing. I think all of these are positive things. I'm kind of leery. I don't know if you guys remember. I want to say it's where am I at? The 1,000 block of Monterey, where we had the similar mobile home park, and they built a two story caretaker unit that was 500 square feet, and we weren't able to require sprinklers per NFPA 13D because it was ceded to HCD. So HCD does have some different rules for stick-built construction, which the manager's quarters is possibly going to be based on the site plan. And then also, you know, you're talking about site utilities, you're talking about grading, you're talking about retaining walls. I'm hoping that they would do that okay. I don't like hoping right there. I think this is, Main Street's important to all of us. Highway 1's important to all of us. I just want to make sure that we're doing as much as we can to keep it looking great, which, I mean, if any indication is that, project next door, I have no doubts that the contractor, the owner would do that. I'm worried about HCD.
Okay. And then Joseph was next.
So my question is your proposal, Jerry. If we were to not cede authority to the CDC, but we're uncertain of that at this point, whether we have the authority to do that. And then the other question I have, and if we establish that we could in fact do that, it would impose some higher fees on the applicant. Are those two things? I got that right.
That my understanding on it is there may be some higher fees, but essentially the only other real difference I see on this would be the setbacks, the 3 to 5 foot setbacks on the side yards, and there may be a few more foundation requirements on that. But one of the things that Jesse brought up also was that site, that stick built building that we didn't have the ability to condition on that other mobile home because it was the HCD controlled. So it came before us, and basically we didn't have much control on that for how that was built. On there, the setbacks were too short, and then also they didn't have the parking that we would have required, on that building if it had gone through us, if we had been permitted through the community development department.
What about the first question, though? At this point, are we certain that we have the authority to require that it not go through the CDC and that it go through the Morro Bay Community Development Office?
I believe we do because we're basically just allowing, we've got a mixed use project. We would take it as a mixed use project and just, they are allowed to do pre-manufactured construction on that. And we would approve the project as is, just without the, without ceding the authority to the HCCD.
Okay.
And I would be verifying that, Joe.
Right, right. And then, it would definitely, and if there's a problem with that, then it could come back to us and we can, if it encumbered the project too much, then I would change, I would change my opinion on that.
Okay, well, that to me places a whole new light on the matter because I was operating under the impression for lack of a better way to describe it, that we couldn't do that. That wasn't within our authority. But I certainly think for commercial development in Morro Bay, you know, the primary decision-making authority should be our own community development office.
Yeah.
And okay, put the burden on another office if that's not true, to prove that it's not true.
Okay, Susan?
So as I read the conditions on the resolution, for example, it is conditioned to have automatic fire sprinklers.
Yes.
It is a condition for fire extinguishers. It's conditioned for a whole variety of things. Are you suggesting that given that we would be approving all these conditions in this resolution, that HCD could come along and say, you don't have to do that? And that we would, I mean, personally, my guess would be that Mr. Borges would do what the city wants him to do and what he thinks is the best and safest and most aesthetically pleasing project. So
Susan, we had a previous project that went through HCD that we were not able to condition for fire sprinklers.
Even though your resolution had a condition for them and then it was removed by HCD?
We have an ordinance now that requires it.
Yeah. Right. So
HCD can't override that.
There you go. Okay, that's kind of what I wondered.
We did the code update. We put that in there as a local amendment, they have to follow it.
Okay. I mean, I think those kinds of things are important. We're making assumptions that HCD is going to come in and act like the bad guy and take away what we have said we need for our community. It doesn't sound like they can do that, and I don't believe that Mr. Borges would do that anyhow. He has agreed to these terms working with the staff. So I may be naive too, but I would still want to go ahead and approve this resolution as it is, conditioning with our community development department to be sure that the view in that Highway 1 corridor is maintained and that it meets conditions that we would see in any other development in our community. That's how I feel.
Okay, I'll give Jeff, I'll open up public comment again for Jeff to come in. Do you have a brief comment?
Yes, what this project is if how Gavin Newsom has been pushing for affordable housing and he's streamlined everything, what you guys would be doing really is, it's going to be much easier for me to do what you guys want, but it's faster for me to get a permit through HCD. It's far more affordable, and that's really in a nutshell. This is to make it affordable, and Gavin Newsom has slashed all the, you know, to make ADUs statewide. You don't have to pay the impact fees and all this stuff. And that's what kills these projects. And if we run it through the old school and have to run it through Morro Bay, the costs are going to be too much. I'm going to tell you right now. We looked at this site to do apartments and it wasn't feasible. The cost for everything to go through the city, it just made it not feasible. So it will kill this project because I'm trying to do some ADUs right now in Morro Bay. I'm in the process. And if Gavin Newsom didn't have those regulations to keep the cost down, like I can get a permit to do an ADU for about $10,000 through Morro Bay versus if I go just build a stick built, it's going to cost me $60,000. It kills the project. What Gavin Newsom is doing is the best thing for the state. And we're in a housing crisis. Coronavirus crisis. But we're going to move forward. We're hoping that, and I know staff is supportive of this. And if you guys knew I don't have the fees, but it will kill the project if we have to run it through Morro Bay. and then we won't be building. It's just it's pretty much that.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Okay. Any further comment, or do we have somebody want to take a shot at a motion? Jesse?
One more comment before I let Susan make her motion.
Okay.
Scott, if we just condition this project to not be park models, would that get us there?
Again, I don't know. I still need to go talk to the city attorney's office about, you know, what leeway we have regarding this. I think we do have some just because of the way that we're permitting it, but I don't know that for sure. It's not something I've researched at this point. So I would, you know, want to condition it. If you want them to not be park models and be something else, that's fine. I need to go research either one, because either one falls under HCD authority typically. So it doesn't matter. You know, this isn't an R1 zone. We're not putting a manufactured home in an R1 zone. That's what our ordinance allows. You know, so it doesn't really deal with this specific issue. I would also speak to Mr. Borges's, you know, concern about fees. I think the fees are going to be the same regardless, of whether he permits it through HCD or through us. I think maybe he's thinking, you know, like if he has an existing park, like he has next door, and he has to go through HCD, he has a certain amount of fees, but this is a brand new project. He's going to pay whatever the fees are regardless. It doesn't make a difference. So I think maybe he's just not thinking that through completely. But I don't know. I don't know that it makes any difference. I think I still have to go forward and talk to the city attorney's office about it.
Okay. Do we have a motion yet? Susan?
I'm going to try.
Okay.
So I would move to approve resolution number PC06-20, a resolution of the Morro Bay Planning Commission approving conditional use permit CUP 20-02 and coastal development permit CDP 19-009 for a new mixed-use project at 1930 Main Street. This is where I may need help with the conditions that the planning director will look into legal issues regarding HCD and local control.
With the intent of the city take control?
Yes.
Of permitting. Okay.
Susan, would you consider another amendment that would say that the commission finds the renderings submitted as inadequate to satisfy the city's design review, and that other options shown in the presentation would be proposed at the discretion of the planning director?
Absolutely.
Okay. How about wording that like applicant will submit design, color, and materials for all units to be placed on the site for community development department staff approval?
Perfect. I like that.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
I would like us to add the finding that I requested earlier, which is related to I would like to add the finding that I requested earlier, related to the, you know, the aesthetic along the Highway 1 corridor to justify the condition.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So does the second agree?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Do we have discussion? Okay. Just to clarify on this, Scott, that this would essentially allow the city to take control if that's allowable with the city attorney?
Correct.
Okay, I can support that at that point. Okay, let's, Scott, do you want to call the question?
Nancy do it,
I'm sorry. Nancy?
Commissioner Lucas?
Aye.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Barone?
Yes.
Commissioner Ingraffia?
Yes.
Chair Lohr?
Yes, I'll agree to that. Okay, Jeff, thank you very much. And we're supportive of your project. We're just trying to make sure that we get the right mechanism to get you there.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. At this point, we'll move on to item number B2. This is CUP 19-21 and PKG 20-01, and site location is at 2820 Greenwood Avenue. Do we have any ex parte communications that need to be declared? Okay. Then, Willow, are you the staff?
Yes, I am the staff.
Lead on this? Okay. Take her away.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, everyone. I hope you're all staying safe and healthy out there. I wanted to start off by making a correction in the staff report. There seems to be like a leftover sentence here on page 4 in the setbacks section, where it says the existing garage entry sits 24 feet and 7 inches from the front property line. There is no garage in this project, so that is a typo. So with that said, let's get started here. I'm going to share my screen with you all so you can see my presentation. And then let me know if that looks good. Is that right?
You got it up.
Okay, perfect. No. So this project before you tonight is a request for a conditional use permit for a 72 square foot deck addition and 211 square foot hall and stairway addition to an existing non-conforming 1,396 square foot home at 2820 Greenwood. The applicants are Rich and Jennifer Novick, and their agent is Jason Buckmaster. I believe everyone is here with us tonight. I do see Jason and Jennifer sitting here, or Jennifer and Rich sitting here, I believe. Hi. Okay, perfect.
That's but I'm not our sure. property. That's not our property.
The Sorry, picture, what?
The picture that you're showing?
It says Bella Vista Drive in Las Tunas.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Sorry. Let's move on to the next slide that will show it more accurately. That must have been an issue with the PowerPoint. Sorry about that. This is the right presentation, promise. Okay, so moving on. This 4,000 square foot lot is located in an R1 S2 zone to the north of San Joaquin Street, south of San Jacinto, east of Fir Avenue, and to the west of Hemlock Avenue. That's better, right? here's a picture of the existing site as seen from Greenwood Avenue. And here are the proposed first and second story floor plans. The applicant is proposing to add 72 square feet of deck space off the second floor and 211 square feet of habitable space by enclosing the second story stairway access on the rear half of the structure. The proposed areas of alteration are highlighted here in red. This table shows the development standards. The home's nonconformities are the front setback and the parking situation. So I'll discuss those in the next slide. According to county records and permits on file with the city, the original home was built in 1953 and was remodeled in 1966 with additions in 1967 and 1970. The home originally did have a garage, according to our files, but it's likely that the garage was converted to living space during that 1966 remodel, although it's unclear. But it has had an existing non-conforming parking situation for a very long time, I believe, since this 1966 remodel. The applicant is asking for a parking exception for this to allow for the driveway space to meet the 2-car parking requirement. It is 20 by 20. I actually went out to the site and measured it myself. Additionally, all new habitable space will meet the R1 S2 development standards. All of the additions will meet the development standards. Sorry, that's the end. Okay, so onto the parking exception. The proposed project meets the requirements for a parking exception pursuant to Morro Bay Municipal Code Section 1744 050, in that the parking exception will not constitute a grant of special privilege, and it is not dissimilar to other parking configurations in the neighborhood. It will not adversely affect the health, safety, and or general welfare of the public, and is reasonably necessary for the applicant's full enjoyment of the property. And then pursuant to Morro Bay Municipal Code 1756-160, the project meets the requirements for a conditional use permit in that it's found to be consistent with the general plan, local coastal plan, and zoning ordinance. It will meet building code. It will not impair the character of the neighborhood. Major reconstruction would be required to make the project compliant. And as conditioned, the project is found to be compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. These elevations show the proposed changes from the street and side views. As shown, the project will meet height and all other development standards. I can leave that up for a second. Here is a rendering of the project provided by the architect. As you can see, it will be similar in bulk and scale to what is existing there now, just a little different in the roof. The project was found to meet the city's residential design guidelines with regards to relationships to neighboring homes, scale and mass, surface articulation, building orientation, garage and driveway design, building materials, and architectural elements. So with all that said, it is staff's recommendation that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution 04-20, which includes the findings and conditions of approval for CUP 19-21 and PKG 20-01. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Willow. Do we have any questions for staff?
I have a quick one, Jerry.
Okay, Michael.
Well, just to verify, I'm having trouble with my technology here. This is a through lot between two streets. So in effect, there's a front and a back street on this property, correct?
No, that's incorrect.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, okay. So no. it does back to another lot.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jesse?
On the on the staff report, there's a small greenhouse type structure in the front yard. Is that within the front yard setback, and is that allowable?
So I did look at that. Staff brought it back to the office, and we determined that it's not permanent. It's really just more for decorative and holding plants. I went out and took pictures of it and everything. So yeah, we determined it was allowable.
Okay. I guess, so Joseph or Susan, do either of you have questions? Okay. I've got a couple questions. It's more just egress on this. Or there's one question. Does the existing project have a parking exemption now?
No, but they're so the parking is existing. It's existing with just the two 20 by 20 driveway spots. There is no garage. So in order to approve this project, it needs to be approved in conjunction with the parking exception so that their parking situation is considered conforming.
Okay. And then on the reconfigured design, does both the office and the reconfigured first floor bedroom, do those both meet egress requirements for bedrooms?
So it is going to be required to meet. Will be required a building permit. I don't know if Scott, you want to weigh in on that part.
Yeah, they'll have to comply. I mean, it'll have to meet the requirements. If they touch it, they got to fix it. If it doesn't meet the requirements now.
But if they call in that an office, it may not be required to have the same egress requirements as a bedroom. That's kind of what I'm concerned about on that office, because it, to me, it could be easily be used as a, you know, as a temporary bedroom or as a bedroom. So if it's not, can we condition it as such?
You can.
Okay. Okay, further questions? Okay, at this point, we'll open it up for public comment, and we normally allow the applicant to go first if they wish to make a presentation.
Yeah, my question was back to the comment about a bedroom. The intent was to have a bedroom up there, or at least the opportunity to have a bedroom. It's occasionally used that way already. It's just it's an exterior entrance. We wanted to bring it into the house and make it so it'd be more of a usable area with the house.
Okay, I'll just make a comment on that. I normally don't interject on public comment like this, but I was talking more on the first floor in the office area. The second floor is definitely labeled as a bedroom, so the egress would be required to be a bedroom. But you have a room in the back that has an ensuite bathroom, and it's labeled as an office in the first floor plan.
The garage.
I suppose that could be taken however you want. When we bought the house, the woman that owned it used that as the bedroom.
Okay.
And
storage.
It was, like Willow said, it was potentially once a garage. It's a concrete floor. It's quite a bit colder than the rest of the house. And whether or not it was ever a garage, I don't know, but it had the feeling of a garage. We call it the garage.
It's like a storage area, basically.
But I'm not following. Is there a problem as far as whether it is called an office versus a garage? I mean, a bedroom?
Just as far as it running through the plans, a bedroom is required to have a certain egress requirements, such as the window has to be big enough for a fireman to come through with his tanks, or you have to have an outside door. It had an outside door before, I think, but now you're eliminating that outside door. So
yeah, I don't see that door. Well, that's a good point. I thought there was a new door, outside door drawn in, but I could be wrong there.
It goes into the hallway from what I see. So I just want to make sure that our health and safety codes are, you know, would be consistent on that.
As far as egress?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see absolutely no problem. If it doesn't meet the standard currently, it will be improved to meet it.
And it won't be used as a bedroom. It's not a bedroom.
Well, I mean,
it's storage. Yeah. We have no garage. That's our garage.
Whether it was ever garage, it has a block foundation, and it has the appearance of not ever being a garage. There's no seam at that point of opening.
And
it, for me as a homeowner, it was difficult to understand. It was originally designed not being a two-car garage. I don't know how you could get two cars unless you turn two smart cars on edge.
Okay. But, okay, Jesse, you have a question?
Is that a window that faces the street, is that openable?
It would propose to be, because we want to put a deck up there.
Right now it's not.
On the first floor, the office.
It's fixed. Yeah.
Okay.
Fixed single pane glass.
Okay. Michael, did you have a question? I see your motion.
The only thing I was going to say is if typically when we see something that says office, I was more concerned because of the parking issues. If it was an office, if there was intermediate parking required to service a small number of clients or something like that. So if it's not a functioning commercial office, that's good.
Does it have any kind of commercial exception as far as the building code in that area? Or?
No, it would only be allowable as a home office.
Yeah.
We have no comments of any kind.
It's one of those things we have to take into account is what would be the potential impact if it was an office, like if it was a psychologist or something that only had a couple people coming, you know. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant? Okay. I kind of cut you off a little short on that as far as a reply. So is there anything else you wish to say?
Rich? We're just hoping to move forward with
a livable house.
Okay.
Yeah, a small addition and a little more of a livable house.
Three little pieces.
I mean, yeah, we love what we have, and we just kind of wanted to improve it a little bit.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. We'll bring it back to the commission then. Do we have any comments?
And it won't be that color blue either.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for that. Susan?
Thank you.
it looks like a good color to me. I certainly can appreciate with the kind of weather we've been having that having to go outside and go upstairs is a challenge. So to enclose that space and make it more of a unified real house makes sense to me.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. I think it, you know, it's small scale, fits character with what the house is there. You know, my only concern is I'd like a condition on that office be treated as a bedroom for egress purposes, and that would be all. So do we have a motion then?
I have one more question.
Okay. Oh, sure.
My question is, but kind of back to the egress and the said to be office, is there, because that single pane glass, is there any issue with putting a new operable window in there?
You would just need to have it as Title 24 code and bring it up. It would actually be an improvement. So, you know, typically it'd be, you know, if you're making something better like that, it would be prescriptive, but building may require you to have a Title 24 report on this anyways. So, you know, that may be, you may trigger that on that, and then that will be, you'll find that out through the building comment process.
Okay.
So, Jesse?
So the height is changing also?
Do you want me to weigh in on that?
Would you weigh
in? Yeah, Willow.
Yeah, it's slightly changing. Let's see. I wonder, maybe I can share my screen again.
But we were under all the height limitations, weren't we?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think it's at like 21 feet where the height requirement is maximum 25.
Okay. Rich, did you have something else you wanted to say? We'll keep
it. Yeah, just regarding the height change for Jesse, was that right? It's basically a flat roof right now, and we wanted to give it a 4-12 pitch to the center. The room is only 14 feet wide, so whatever 7 feet of rise would be, you know, it's probably an additional 2 feet.
Sure. I think I must have slept through that part of Willow's presentation. I missed it.
Okay. Yeah. No, but that was our intent, just to make it a little more protection and give it a little more aesthetic value.
It definitely looks better. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the commission. And do we have someone like to, you know, do a motion on this? Come on, guys. Okay, Susan.
What am I, the motion person today?
Yeah.
So I move to approve resolution number PC04-20. A resolution of the Morro Bay Planning Commission approving conditional use permit CUP 19-21 and parking exception PKG 20-01 for an addition to a non-conforming residence with a non-conforming parking situation outside the Coastal Commission appeal jurisdiction, with a condition that appropriate egress be provided from the downstairs current office.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Do we have discussion? Jesse?
Willow, would it be safe to assume that the shed in the back was reduced to under 120 square feet to get out of permitting because of the setback or the non-existent setback? Is that correct?
It was reduced, yes, and also to meet building separation requirements.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion? So we have a motion and a second, and discussion taken care of. Can we call the question then, Willow?
Yes. Commissioner Lucas?
Aye.
Commissioner Stewart?
Aye.
Commissioner Barone?
Yes.
Commissioner Ingraffia?
Aye.
Chair Lohr?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you, guys.
Yay!
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Willow.
Yeah, no problem, you guys.
Okay. Moving on to item number B3. It's case number PAR20-01 and CDP19-046. It's the location at 675 Paula Street and 2560 Ironwood Avenue in Morro Bay. And it's a request for a tentative parcel map and coastal development permit for a parcel split.
Yes.
So, Willow, are you the...
I've got to step down for this one.
Okay. Okay, Michael, we'll see you later. Okay. Don't go too far.
Okay, whenever you guys are ready.
Yeah, do you have a staff report there, Willow?
I do, yes.
Okay, great.
Let me get my screen shared again. And we'll hit play. Oh. Is that working for everybody?
That's good.
Okay. Great. All right. So this project is a tentative parcel map and coastal development permit application at 675 Paula and 2560 Ironwood for a lot split and demolition of an existing residence. The applicants are Bruce and Sandra Santoliani. Wow, I hope I got that right. And their agent is Mark Molini. I think everybody is in the house tonight. On here. This 14,820 square foot lot is located in an R1 S2 zone on the corner of Paula and Ironwood, surrounded by residential on all sides. This is an aerial image of the existing lot with the home to be demolished highlighted there in blue. These are a few images of the existing site as seen from Paula Street. These identify the residence that is to be demolished as a part of this permit. And this is the site shown from Ironwood Avenue. This residence is to remain on one of the parcels. So as conditioned by the Public Works Department, this project will include curb, gutter, and sidewalk improvements on Ironwood, a curb ramp at the corner of Ironwood and Paula, and parkland in lieu fees. And the proposed lot split also meets all the design guidelines set forth in the city's subdivision ordinance. This slide shows the proposed tentative parcel map with the first parcel at 8,008 square feet and the second at 6,812 square feet. So the tentative parcel map is consistent with section 1636050, the subdivision ordinance, in that it is an allowed use that is consistent with the general plan, local coastal plan, and zoning ordinance. Will not be detrimental to the health and safety or general welfare of the public or of the city. A coastal development permit is also required for subdivisions and for the demolition. So pursuant to section 17.58, the proposed lot split and demolition is consistent with the general plan, local coastal plan, and zoning ordinance. It will not be detrimental to the health, safety, or general welfare of the public or the city. With all of that said, staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution 0520, which includes the findings and conditions of approval for PAR 2001 and CDP 19-046. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Willow. Do we have any ex parte communications on this one? Okay, see none, move forward. Do we have questions for staff? No? Okay, then I will open it up for public comment. And would the applicant or the owner like to speak to this item?
Not at this time, no.
Okay. Bob, did we have any public comment?
No public call in at this point.
Okay. And I forgot to ask you that on the last item, so I hope we didn't leave anybody hanging.
Absolutely not. I would have interrupted if so.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bob. I have a question for the applicant, and it's just a curiosity. Was there any reason why you didn't split this into three lots instead of two?
Because the city told me the minimum lot size to split now is 6,000 square feet. So I couldn't get three lots out of it.
Okay. Willow said the minimum size there was 4,300 square feet. Was that an error, Willow?
Potentially, yeah. This is in a zone where it's 4,300 square feet. I remember speaking with the applicant about this back in maybe November. And I know that it's 6,000 square feet in just the regular R1 zones, but in the S2 overlay, it is 4,300 square feet.
So was there any concern?
I was told a few different times that it was 6,000 square feet. And I know all the lots in that area are 50 feet wide by 80. I mean, almost all the lots in that whole blocks around there.
Okay. Bruce, let me ask Scott. Bruce, hold on a second. Scott, are you available?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe you can clear this up, Scott. The adjacent lots are 4,300 square feet, but I know our subdivision ordinance requires 6,000 square feet. What is the controlling factor on this lot here?
Our minimum lot size in the regular R1 zone was 6,000 square foot. We passed an ordinance a long time ago, a while ago, making it that. So there might be an inconsistency between the subdivision ordinance and the municipal code and the zoning code section that deals with this.
Okay.
I'm looking, but yeah, so.
Because the adjacent lots there are 4,000 square feet, are usually 50 by 80s, I believe.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why the city, changed the lot size to 6,000 square foot in the R1 zone. Because what that did is effectively make most of the city's R1, lots nonconforming. And right. So we sought to sort of, you probably remember this in the draft zoning code, we sought to sort of rectify that, because it didn't make any sense. I guess we could go back and look back at the ordinance and verify that it applies to this area, certainly come back through it. But I believe that it applies to all R1 property.
Okay.
Not to go back. Okay. I'm happy to, we can certainly go back and pull it and read the exact text of the ordinance that was written versus what was put in the municipal code.
Okay. Can we proceed with this process now and have with the condition or with the understanding that this would be researched prior to final on this?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay. Is that something that you... okay, let me ask Bruce and Sandra, is that something that you would consider or would want to pursue?
I don't think so. I kind of just make it the two lots.
Okay.
We're keeping the bigger lot for ourselves and probably selling off the corner lot there on Paula's side. I think it would make a nice size lot for somebody, a nice corner lot, since the setbacks are more for corner lots.
Okay. Okay. Well, then we'll leave this the way it was. It was a point of curiosity to me, and I just wanted to make sure that that was the way you guys wanted to go with it. So do we have any further questions for? Okay, then let's bring it back to the commission and anybody like for discussion or a motion?
I suppose it's my turn.
Yeah, we worked Susan pretty hard here tonight. Right. So.
For this one, I don't have any printed documentation, so I move that we adopt resolution PC 05-20 with respect to PAR 20-01 and CDP 19-046.
Okay. Willow, is that the correct numbers?
Yeah, just subject to the findings and conditions of approval. Make sure.
Okay. Okay.
Subject to the findings and conditions of approval.
Okay. Do we have a second? Jesse, did you want to unmute so that you can? Jesse, you want to unmute so we can record this?
I'll second it.
Okay, Susan. Sorry, Jesse, you're still muted. So. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Just to say happy house building and congratulations. You had a baby. You had a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, then let's and then what happened to the Airstream that was on the lot?
That was a neighbor's. That has been moved, yes.
Okay. We'll leave that be then. All right. Willow, could you call the question, please?
Yes. Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Ingrafia?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Chair Lohr?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes.
All right. Motion passes. Thank you very much, and enjoy.
Thank you.
I will.
Okay, that concludes our public hearings. We now have item C, new business unlisted, unfinished business. We have none listed. Planning commissioners' comments and future agenda items. Does anybody wish to speak up? Joseph?
Yeah, I've got a question. It's been bothering me for a couple of weeks. I don't know if I remembered this or misremembered it, but remember about a year and a half ago, or maybe 2 years, you know, when they demolished the Tognazzini 3 with the restaurant with the little boat on top of it?
Yeah.
And when I was sitting on the commission, we had nothing to do with it at that point, but I remember it was a reference from some previous decision, and it just happened that we were talking about it. But I recall in that I won't even call it a discussion, but it was just a comment. I thought I heard that there was supposed to be some sort of pocket park somewhere in the vicinity of where Tognazzini 3 was, and I thought that was a nice idea, although I had nothing to do with it. But I noticed that it's not there at the moment.
Scott, you want to take this one?
Yeah. So with the reconfiguration of the road through there, so they could get delivery trucks in and out, and with the implementation of the trash enclosure, it took almost the entirety of the space, for the pocket park. So what you have is the trash enclosure, yes, with the kind of wood surround, and then two benches, and I think like four plants.
Yeah, well, I did notice the trash enclosure, but I wasn't thinking that was.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Okay.
Yeah. Jesse?
One thing, Joseph can probably back me up on this. When we went to the Planning Commissioner Academy, which was very informative and very very helpful for conducting these meetings, there was a presentation, I guess, if you will, about impromptu planning. And it got me thinking again about that little space next to Sons and Buns, corner of Embarcadero and Harbor. You know, they had us kind of get into groups and do an improv. Joseph, remember that, the improv? Mm-hmm. So talking about improv planning. And, you know, they made us get in groups and talk about what would you do if you had this space. And anyway, just to kind of reinvigorate that conversation, I was wondering if maybe we could, obviously, when things have calmed down and we were all back to normal, consider discussing that again. If maybe, even if it's a volunteer group, nonprofit, or something, improving that property at Blue Dolphin's allowance, even if it's just putting a couple benches and maybe a stage for kids to play, you know, their junior high orchestra or whatever they do. You know, anyway, just kind of bringing that back up to the forefront.
Okay. Always happy to take another run at it. We've been trying to make inroads there since I started working here, and been unsuccessful. And I've engaged the help of the chamber, and they've been unsuccessful to this point. And we've been looking at all kinds of things, like you just talking about, Jesse. Just anything we could do to make it nice, put a couple of tables out there, anything, and been unsuccessful to this point. But I think it's a good idea. I think it was a good idea when I first talked to folks about it. I think it's a good idea now. I think it's a good idea when you brought it up. So anyway, my thoughts on it.
Okay, Michael's next.
Scott, I'm wondering, I thought I saw some notes come across my desktop here about did the Morro Bay Open Space Association come to an agreement with the city about Cerrito Peak?
We thought we did. I'm not sure, though. We had concurrence, by the folks that were helping us write the MOU. And then the last thing I heard back was there was, some concern about, what a deed restriction could look like. And I'm not sure exactly where that landed right now. I'd have to go back and check. I haven't seen it's possible I have about 80 emails, maybe closer to 100 right now, that I haven't been able to get through. So it might be one of those, but I thought we had concurrence. And then when it was released to the group, there was less concurrence with Mombosa. And so, I think we're still working on it, but again, I do have several emails I need to get through. Maybe one of them is an answer to that.
Okay, Susan, next.
Just a comment. This has been a really challenging time for our community, especially for small businesses. Some of us are not making any money. We are shut, and there is nothing coming in. And I think we can see what the reliance on tourism as the main leg of our economy in this town, it's put us in a difficult position. And my hope moving forward is that to revitalize our economy, we are really going to need these development projects, whether they're little ones or big ones. We're going to need the money that construction brings to our community, whether it's, through the workers themselves, whether through purchasing the supplies that they need, hopefully locally, whether these are folks that maybe come from out of town, say if they are building the sewage treatment plant and are staying in the hotels and eating in the restaurants. I think as a community, change is hard, but we're going to have to embrace a really vigorous look at what we do to make us a little more diversified in our economy. Because I have a feeling this may last longer than we'd like it to, and it may come back around again. And hopefully, I'm really proud of our community. I'm proud of our state. I think California has done a great job. And I'm proud of our mayor and our folks who are in charge of things now, our chamber, everybody's working really hard to help people through it. So I think we all kind of need to get on board with that. That's all I can say.
Okay. Joseph?
Just with respect to Mombosa and the Eagle Peak, we did get a response from the city attorney about the possibility of a deed restriction. And there's some significant difficulties associated with that. And I can't speak for the entire board, but I think the board is moving away from insisting on that. So we'll probably have a resolution at this month's board meeting that'll probably finalize the whole thing.
Okay, and Susan, I'd just like to, you know, second your comments too. You know, this is a trying time. Business is shut down. It's hard laying people off. It's hard, you know, when there's no work for them to do. And diversifying the economy here has always been a goal. It's always been, how do we do it? You know, one of the keys that I see coming up, and this will be an editorial on my part, is the offshore wind. You know, I'm extremely disappointed in people that say they're environmentalists, but then they don't want to build anything anywhere that would alleviate the problem and be a solution. And so I'll leave it at that. Scott, is there anything you'd like to add?
Going back to Commissioner Stewart's comments, you know, on the economics of town, I mean, this is the impacts from, you know, from the shutdown from COVID-19 is going to be devastating from the city standpoint. We're working through what that's going to look like. And I don't have any idea at this moment exactly how bad it's going to be, but we're working on that stuff right now. On the outside, though, you know, like as we're working right now on plans, we're actually meeting this week. I have a couple different meetings this week as to what it's going to look like when we open things back up, and then coming up with incentives for, you know, having development come forward. What can we do? One of the things I wasn't planning on doing it until around August was we're taking our permit tracking system and we're testing it right now to turn it public facing so people can submit applications online. There's a lot of reasons for that. One, we don't want paper coming in right now with the COVID-19 thing going on. We'd rather have electronic plans. So we're working on what we can do with that. And we're probably going to hopefully either by the end of this week or beginning of next, start taking in over the counter permits that way to see if we can't get a few of those happening and then move to the larger, you know, projects and applications for planning and those types of things. And then also looking at what we can do to, you know, facilitate bringing some of the projects that have been, you know, forward that have been approved, but not haven't submitted yet for building or are in building right now. When they release things, part of the closure order issued by the county is that commercial construction can continue on that was already issued a permit and already started work, but no new commercial permits can be issued. Given what we have in plan check right now, there's going to be a little bit of a backlog probably sitting and waiting once they do open everything back up. So it'll be, it's going to be an interesting time, you know, once we release all those permits, you know, what that's going to mean from an inspection standpoint and those types of things. So we're working on some of that. Again, we have two different meetings this week. One is just strictly, you know, what are we going to do economically? What can we do to facilitate, to help our businesses, to get them open, and what can we do to get folks, you know, back in a safe manner and open in a safe manner? And so we are looking at those things right now. It's definitely we're living it. And it's something that's important to us as well, and we're paying attention to it internally. And we're also, you know, partnering with the chamber as well to help with that. So you know, these are definitely things that are on our minds pretty much daily. And I had one other thing. I wanted to ask what you all thought about, you know, the process of using Zoom for the meeting. How do you think it went?
Michael? What did you think of this? No.
Still learning the buttons. No, I've used this a few times, and this is the whole way Cal Poly's teaching this quarter. So it's I'm not involved in that, but I'm getting used to it. I think I need a makeup artist and a haircut.
Jesse.
I think it went well. No complaints.
Hey, Joseph.
This is the most interaction I've had in nearly 3 weeks. This is great.
And Susan, what's your...
I think it worked great. It's nice to see everybody's faces, but I am looking forward to actually seeing y'all in person.
Yeah, my my sentiments exactly. And Scott, thanks for putting this together. I'm kind of a bumbling technophile, you know, so it's, if I can do it, almost anybody can. So.
Yeah, I think you did a good job running the meeting. I think it all went really well. I actually, you know, was I had people texting me throughout, asking me what they thought about it and how they thought it was going. And I was telling them it's going well. So.
Nice job, Jerry. I think you did a really good job.
Okay. Well, thank you guys. Thank you guys. It helps. We've worked together well, and I, you know, I'm appreciative of all of you guys, you know, the more so that I don't see you. So, you know, all right. At this point, we'll adjourn unless anybody has anything else they'd like to say. Okay. Just everybody stay safe out there, you know, follow the guidelines, and that's how we can get through this with the least amount of damage. And be good. You know, be nice.
Thanks, good night. Jerry. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
See you later. I brought the flag for the salute. We didn't do it.